Lesson 2. When we last left Kate and Jack, they were in their car driving down the long drive away from Uncle Henry and Aunt Sarah's farm in Virginia. Uncle Henry with his lively history experiences, and Aunt Sarah with her kind and generous way of answering any questions the children could possibly think of, had made history come alive for them. Hardly a day had gone by without them discussing something they had learned during those glorious 3 weeks in Virginia. Today was just such a day. It was a beautiful fall afternoon, 3 months after returning home. On a small lake not far from their house, Kate and Jack floated lazily on their homemade wooden raft, soaking up the California sunshine.
I wonder what Uncle Henry and Aunt Sarah are doing right now. What's the weather like in Virginia in October?
It's colder than here, I'm pretty sure. California's autumn is a lot warmer than Virginia's. But I bet their farm is beautiful, with all the leaves changing color.
I bet it is. I really miss Uncle Henry.
I do too. And Aunt Sarah. She's amazing. Remember when all those kids came over for their medieval adventure? Now it's just the two of them there, all alone on their farm. I wonder if they miss having kids around.
Kate laid down on the raft and stared into the cloudless, light blue sky stretching above her.
I'm so excited for our next history adventure, but summer seems so far away. Uncle Henry said we're going to start with ancient Greece. We'll be learning about explorers like Marco Polo, too.
Oh, so that's why he sent you that book on ancient Greece for your 14th birthday last week. Are you done reading it yet?
I have one more chapter. You can read it when I'm done.
Just then, Jack spotted something moving toward them in the lake.
Kate, look! There's something moving on the lake. It's coming toward us.
Kate sat up.
You're right. It looks like a pipe or something sticking up. Are there pipes in this lake? If there are, why would a pipe be moving? It's coming pretty fast. What is it?
I don't know. Let's get out of here!
Kate and Jack each grabbed an oar and began paddling hard, but the raft just spun in a circle. And then, with a great rush of water, something grabbed the side of the raft. A dark head rose from the water, and an arm reached up. Kate and Jack both screamed and grabbed onto the raft to keep from slipping into the water. Then they realized it was a man with wet hair plastered to his head. The man took off his snorkel and goggles, and they were staring into the eyes of Uncle Henry. Kate couldn't speak. Her mouth just kept opening and closing with nothing coming out. Uncle Henry laughed and started towing the raft to the bank.
I take it you're surprised to see me.
Yeah, you could say that.
What in the world are you doing here?
Let me get you guys to shore, and then I'll explain.
The children climbed onto the bank and sat there. They kept looking over at Uncle Henry, still surprised that he was really there.
Here's the story. Your mother called me about a month ago and told me about her hip surgery coming up. She'll be in the hospital for at least a week and will be confined to bed for a while after that. She asked Sarah and me if we'd like to come help out. Sorry about almost dumping you off the raft. The truth is that when we got here, I couldn't wait to see you. You can blame the ambush on your father. This is his mask and snorkel, and it was his idea.
We're just so glad you're here.
Jack and Kate unpacked towels from their basket, and the three of them dried off.
That's a big basket for two towels. Tell me there's lunch in there as well. Airplane food is terrible.
You bet. Mom packed us lunch. If you're hungry, we can share it. She always packs more than I can eat.
Not more than Jack can eat, surely.
I don't mind sharing. After you exploded out of the water, I think half my stomach got stuck in my throat anyway.
They laughed and spread a blanket under a nearby tree. Kate started to unpack the lunch.
I have two more surprises for you, and I promise they won't make Jack lose his appetite. The first one is this. While Sarah and I are here, we can start a new history adventure.
The kids leaped to their feet and cheered. They both started talking at once.
Can we really?
Can we get started right now?
You bet we can. We'll have 2 weeks. Sarah and I will help you with your math and other work during the day, but we'll spend the majority of our time learning about history.
Okay, that's a pretty great surprise. But you said you had two surprises.
I do. The other one is back at the house with Aunt Sarah. Well, wait a minute. I don't want to spoil it. Here's a riddle for you, though. What's 57 pounds, multicolored, including red and blue and pink, and offers endless amusement and learning?
Kate and Jack exchanged a look. Jack shrugged.
A merry-go-round?
A bookmobile?
Good guesses, but just a little bit off the mark. You'll just have to wait until we get there to find out.
Kate handed Uncle Henry a ham and cheese sandwich and a cup of lemonade. Uncle Henry took a bite, moaned happily at how delicious it was, and sipped down half his lemonade. Then he began.
Last summer we talked about ancient Egypt. If you recall, the Nile River flows north up to the Nile Delta and empties into the Mediterranean Sea. If we were to take a boat across the Mediterranean Sea, sailing northwest, we would see Greece. As we approached the coast of Greece, we would likely see many different sized boats.
Why?
Because Greece is a land of mountains, valleys, and hundreds of small islands, travel by boat is often easier than travel by foot. Many ancient Greeks were seafarers or traders. Of course, some Greeks were also potters or made coins, sculptures, or jewelry. Also, many Greeks were farmers. Can you guess what kind of crops they grew?
I'm guessing that because Mom packed olives and grapes in our picnic basket today, that they might have had those foods.
Exactly. Olive trees grow well in the climate and soil of Greece. Olive oil was very important in ancient Greece, not only for cooking, but also for keeping the skin clean and soft, and for lighting their lamps. They also ate barley, wheat, vegetables, fruits, eggs, poultry, and fish.
Sounds like a pretty healthy diet.
They were healthy. In fact, they placed a high value on physical fitness and physical beauty and gracefulness, too. They took excellent care of their bodies. They exercised and used scented oils and lotions. Greek women wore their hair in elaborate hairstyles, composed of braids and curls, and finished off with decorative combs or fresh flowers. Their clothing was simple but elegant. Cloth was seldom sewn together to make clothes. Women usually draped a long tunic around themselves and held it together with pins and a cloth belt. The ancient Greeks often went barefoot or wore leather sandals.
Didn't the ancient Greeks love things like sports and theater?
Yes, they loved attending sporting events and festivals. It is believed they actually invented drama. Early Greek plays were performed in outdoor theaters, carved out of hillsides or built in the middle of the city. The audience would either stand or sit and watch a few actors and a chorus. The plays were usually about the adventures of a mythical god. Some were tragedies, but there were also plays that were comedies. The ancient Greeks had an appreciation for beautiful things, so they enjoyed music and dancing. They also loved to listen to poets and philosophers, and they liked to discuss philosophical ideas in open-air public places.
When Uncle Henry, Jack, and Kate finished eating, they got up from under the tree and began gathering their things together. The sun had come out from behind the clouds, and a warm breeze blew.
Now let's talk about the city-states. During one long period of time, there was no central government of Greece. The land is so broken up with mountains and valleys that people settled in smaller city-states. Each city-state had its own government, and most of them were ruled by a chieftain or a king. There were two large, famous city-states. Do either of you know the names of them?
I do. Athens and Sparta. I learned about them from the book you sent me.
That's wonderful, Kate. Tell me something you learned about Athens and Sparta.
Well, the two city-states were really different in a lot of ways. Sparta was known for its incredibly well-trained soldiers. Education was mainly about physical fitness and military training. Spartans did not believe in luxuries like art and literature, but Athens was all about those things. The people of Athens loved art and literature and philosophy and science.
I'm impressed, Kate. That's right. And we'll learn more about Athens and Sparta soon. But let's get home now. I can't wait to show you the surprise that Sarah and I brought with us.
The happy group walked through the tall golden grass and enjoyed the warm autumn breeze as they talked about everything that had happened in the 3 months since they had parted. Kate and Jack still couldn't believe they were really going to start another history adventure now and didn't have to wait until the summer.